Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 34. Jesus said this concerning the end time. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." He's talking about the end times and the signs of his coming and so on and so forth. But he says there's going to be a generation. And I think that he wasn't necessarily talking about his generation, the people who were alive during the time when he was alive on the earth. I think he's talking about the generation of believers throughout time. That there'll be a generation of believers throughout all of time, and this generation of believers will not pass away until everything that has been spoken comes to pass. And so, implicit in the gospel, and we're going to look at it today, implicit in the gospel is this opportunity for transformation. And really, transformation is supposed to be part of the litmus test of your Christianity, that you experience a personal transformation over the length of your lifetime is something that you should literally be able to look at and judge, that I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago, but I'm more Christ-like than I was 5 years ago. Because it's the kind of transformation that's more like growth. It doesn't necessarily happen overnight. You know, Jesus had a certain amount of time to do his Jesus stuff, so he did a lot of stuff very instantly, which for us actually is more encompassed in a longer stretch of time. There's more process than in Jesus' personal ministry. But it's vital that you can put your hand on your spiritual pulse and detect transformation. Because Jesus, by his nature, is transformational. The gospel, by its nature, is transformational. And it's a great challenge to who we are in the flesh as physical people. We don't come saved. We come disobedient. We come with a tendency toward disobedience, not obedience. Obedience has to be learned. And so becoming Jesus or taking on or putting on Christ is a transformational process. And if you do not see that process, if you grew for 5 years or 10 years, but then you leveled out, I'm telling you, God wants to bring you further through transformation. Okay? So we assess the success of our own Christianity by the degree of transformation that we experience. Definition of transformation, I looked this up really for my good as much as anything. It means a thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance. Synonyms are change, alteration, mutation, conversion, metamorphosis, transfiguration, transmutation, revolution. I like revolution. Personal revolution. Personal revolution. That what the values that dictate you are not the values that dictated your father and your fathers before you, but they're the values that are dictated through the Word of God, through Jesus Christ, right? You're not trapped in a cultural, myopic sort of situation. where you can only go as far as your ancestors went. You have been given a new life. You've been given a new opportunity to grow and to go and to be changed and to be transformed. That creates a particular kind of person that some people like and some people don't like. And we have to know as Christians that we're buying into something that comes from God, and there is a spiritual warfare taking place against this process. So 1 Corinthians 11:28, when it talks about the process of taking communion, where we remember that the body of Jesus was broken and his blood was spilled, and we eat his flesh and drink his blood prophetically as a sign. But it says, when you're going through that process, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. What are we examining ourselves for? Transformation. Transformation. What's the transformational process? So let a man examine himself. So one of the main aspects of our Christianity is looking at ourselves, it's not navel-gazing, but it's saying, I don't know that I'm experienced the transformational. Very easy for us to slip into hypocrisy, and we have to be sure that we're experiencing the transformational effect of the gospel. Yeah? That's your opportunity. You know, so it's like not an order from God that you're going to get beaten if you don't do that. No. It's what the effect the gospel is supposed to have on us. Yes? Okay, what grade would you give yourself? And how do you know? How much like Jesus are you? That's really the big question, right? How much like Jesus are you? We don't just hide in Jesus, hide in his shadow so we can still be dirty and hide in his shadow. We believe in Jesus because we recognize, although we are hiding in his shadow, that he's transforming us. The Bible says, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Okay? You don't look too happy. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's a rugged scripture. That's a hardcore scripture. That's a hardcore scripture. Take up your cross is an impaling stick. That's what a cross was in those days. I mean, so there's this transformation, because he's saying that old self that used to drive you, the things that used to drive you, I want to put that thing to death. Well, I said something to one of our young men recently, you know, who got upset at this or that or the other thing. And I said, problem is you're just not dead enough. You know, it was the Billy Crystal line. He's not dead, he's mostly dead. I said to him, you're just not dead enough. That's your problem. You're not dead enough. Every time somebody says something that criticizes you or something, you always get upset. You're not dead enough. You do become, in God, unoffendable. Eventually. You become unoffendable. It all just depends on how dead you are. 2 Corinthians 5. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. He says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, he's talking about his body. Isn't it funny he calls it a tent? He just calls it a dwelling place. You dwell within your body. Your body is not eternal. Your spirit is eternal. He says, but we know this earthly house, this tent is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. So we don't. He's saying, not because I want to die, not because I want to be unclothed. He said, but I want to be further clothed. I want the glory of the existence that happens with us in God's eternity after the resurrection, the glorified body. So he's saying, I don't want to die. I don't want to just get rid of this tent. He said, but I'm looking for a better tent. I'm looking for the tent that comes from God. I'm looking forward to an eternity so I can bear a lot of offense in this life if I'm really shooting for a tent that comes from God. He says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, prepared us for this walk, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. That's so very, very important that you understand that Jesus didn't say, okay, believe in the cross, I'll see you guys later, I'll be back one day, try really hard to be good. He didn't say that at all. He said, I've given you the Spirit to help you to do this. I've given you the Spirit to help your process of transformation. It's the Spirit that we've been given as a down payment. What have we been given the Spirit for? Transformation. To be transformed. See, you become transformed. A lot of folks come into Christianity because they're afraid of what's out there. There's a whole fear thing that happens in the church. But listen, the longer you're in Jesus, the less afraid you are. You don't really have anything to be afraid of. I just finished a book about Stanley and Livingston. Livingston was the great Christian evangelist who went into Africa, and they said something about Livingston. Livingston was attacked by a lion. He grabbed a hold of his arm, and he said, the thing that was crazy about that is that once the lion had a hold of my arm, it didn't hurt anymore. He said, I almost felt like I was in another reality. But he said, after he got attacked by that lion and lived, there was nothing that could make him afraid for the rest of his life. He was fearless. By every account, he was fearless. Mid-1800s, he's traipsing about through Africa, hated the slave trade, hated it with all of his heart, preaching the gospel in the middle of a continent that had never been explored before. And literally, his whole caravan would turn back on him, and he would go alone. Crazy. Fearlessness. When we have a good, healthy fear of God, we don't have to fear anything else. Once the lion has got us in his jaws, and we've lived through that experience, when the devil has thrown his best at you, and you made it to the other side, goodness gracious, will you stop being afraid? Will you stop being afraid? Fearlessness. So, we have the Spirit as a guarantee. Verse 6, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So as long as I'm here in this planet, I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. Because I believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe everything he said about me, and I will be fearless. He says we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He said, one day I'm going to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. And that's a good thing. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. He's saying, that's a little scary. Paul's saying, that's pretty scary. Knowing the terror of the Lord. What? That we're all going to come before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged regarding what we've done in the body. Okay. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. A lot of folks boast today. Braggarts abound. Yeah? He's saying, you see us for what we are. It ain't too glamorous, is what he's saying. For, I love this, this is one of my favorite scriptures. He says, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it's for you. Listen, hear this. If you think we're nuts, you're right. We're crazy about Jesus. If you think we're crazy, you're right. We're beside ourselves. But that's for God, who I will worship with all of my heart and soul and mind and strength. And I'll bounce up and down like a pogo stick, and I'll lift my hands, and I'll sing, and I'll praise. But that ain't for you. That's for God. If I'm out of my mind, it's for God. If you think I'm like normal and kind of a cool guy, maybe you'd listen to me. It's fake. It's pretend, because I'm just doing it for you. Because I'm just doing it for you. I just want you to think I'm normal, so listen to me, because I'm going to want you to be as crazy about Jesus as I am. I'm on a mission from God. If I'm beside myself, it's for God. Because I can't give him enough praise for saving me. I can't give him enough worship. I can't do enough. I want to be beside myself. I want to see that God sees that I gave myself crazy for his work, for Jesus. I gave myself crazy. You got to go crazy investing in God. You got to go crazy investing in God. Just coming to church and sitting here doesn't make you crazy for God. It makes you almost like normal. But when you do crazy things and you give crazy for God, when you get crazy, then you know God's got a hold of you. Nancy and I used to clean out our refrigerator and sneak over to a person's house that we knew were struggling. And we'd leave bags on their counter and come home and go eat at Nancy's mother's house. So Nancy's mom was very generous. She was actually very generous. 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Isn't it wonderful? You should be really happy to not have yourself as such a burden, that you spend every waking hour thinking about how to make your own life easier and better. God uncoupled that whole thing, so you don't have to worry about yourself at all anymore. You care for Jesus, and he'll care for you. It's a good deal. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. And this is where I started this whole message, actually, this verse right here. I'm a context guy. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Ladies and gentlemen, we call that transformation. If anyone is in Christ, they'll tell you that the language that's used there is a continuing tense. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. We're going through transformation. We are generation transformation. We are generation transformation. Generation transformation. Generation transformation. Little Jesus is walking around here in Margaretville, New York. Generation transformation. Generation transformation. You get the Jesus bug. You get the bug. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, not charging their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So everything that Jesus did, now he's committed it to us, so that we can be the carriers of this word of reconciliation. Hey, God loves you. He's not estranged from you. I'm not going to charge your sins against you. Come to Jesus. Did you hear that? Not charging their sins against them, but creating a reconciliation, because God loves you. He wants to be your God. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. That's what we do. We take on the Spirit of Christ. We implore you. There's emotion in that, isn't there? We implore you. We beg you. We implore you. We beg you. We implore you. We are inviting you to see this version of reality that God has constructed for us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For me, he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Transformation, generation transformation, that we who didn't know any righteousness could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God's not charging our sin against us, but he's imploring us, please be reconciled to God. And the problem with sinfulness is sinfulness, God doesn't move away from you, it makes you move away from him. Because Mr. Guilt and Shame comes in over you. I shared this with a couple of people yesterday. It was a story I found on the internet by this evangelist, a very well-known evangelist named Bill Fay. I skipped the first part of it, but it's how he had a connection with John Denver. Most people have heard of John Denver. I know you young people. Anyway, he died. But Bill Fay said, I met with John Denver in a private room in a Denver airport for the better part of 2 hours. I took him line by line through the gospel of Jesus Christ. There wasn't a single verse of scripture he did not understand, nor was there a single verse of scripture that he would accept. Finally, I said, John, when did you make up your mind Jesus Christ would never become your Lord and Savior? He could remember the date and the time and the place. A godly Sunday school teacher, like some of you, Bill Fay is saying, said to him, Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. Now, he rejected it. Bill Fay says, I left with a saddened heart, tears in my eyes. I asked God, why did you go through all this trouble if John Denver was not going to accept you? And a verse of scripture came into my heart that took evangelism to another level for me. I hope it will for you. It comes out of 2 Corinthians 2:16, and it says, to one, we are the smell of death, to another, the fragrance of life. Is that not what we find? Is that not the thing that makes most Christians to be very timid? Because to many people, our Jesus is the smell of death. That's why they get all riled up. See, a lot of you think people are coming against you. They're not coming against you. It's the smell of death on you. Some people, you're the smell of death. To other people, you're the fragrance of life. So what do we owe every person in our community, every person in our generation? At least a presentation of the gospel so at least they can say, yeah, I turned God down. Yes, I didn't accept it. I turned God down. And when they stand before that judgment seat of Christ, they can say, yes, yes, Jesus, your people came to me and told me about you, but I turned them down. Because some people, you're the fragrance of death. And that takes a little getting used to. Just final thought. Another little section here on the book of Esther. But in the beginning of that book, the king was a representative of Jesus. Threw a great feast. 7 days, he threw a great feast. His heart was merry. He had a great kingdom. King, I think it was Xerxes, right? Who is a historical figure. Threw a great feast and had people, dignitaries from all over the known world at this feast. He cared for them. He had a very generous heart. Had a wonderful time. And his wife's name was Vashti. And he said toward the end of the feast, do me a favor. Go get my wife, because I want to bring her here to show everyone how beautiful she is. And she actually was throwing a party herself in another sort of mansion that the king also owned. Bible really points that out. Says it was his place, his mansion, his digs. And she threw a big party, and all of her friends were there at the party. And so the messengers come in and say, Queen Vashti, your husband's calling for you. He wants to kind of show you off at the big party. And she didn't come. Right? She didn't come. You know, I think God throws a big party every Sunday. And I think some of us just don't want to be bothered. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. We think we're pretty special ourselves. It's my day. Sunday's my day. And I don't think it is. Actually, I think it's the Lord's day. It's been called that by a person or two. And the Lord calls for you. He wants to show off your beauty. He wants to show off this heart that's born again in him. He calls you to come and to be a part. He calls you to be visible. He wants to show you off. And when we refuse him and we live a clandestine Christianity, we live a Christianity under the radar, we're no different than Queen Vashti. And you know what happens? What did they do there? I think they exiled her. They didn't kill her, they exiled her. I don't want to be exiled from Jesus. I don't want to be exiled from Jesus. I want to show up when he calls. I want to be there because I think he's all that matters. If I'm out of my mind, I'm out of my mind for God. If I'm normal, I'm trying to be reasonable here. Contain myself. It's for you. Do you understand? When the king calls, we come. And God raised up Esther. God raised up Esther. And you know what she did for a year? All the maidens had to get ready to be presented to the king. For a year, she was in the house of purification. Generation transformation. You are in the house of purification. You are in the house of purification. Generation transformation. If anybody be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Generation transformation.
Hello, my name is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Pastor Bob shared a wonderful message to us entitled, Generation Transformation. Pastor Bob shared a verse from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's encouraging. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have never become a new creation for God, would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that I am far from you. Jesus, I recognize that you died for my sin. I turn from my sinful ways today and place my life in you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill me with your power now. Father, thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. If this word today has impacted you, would you consider giving to the work of On Fire Radio? You can give online at cmcconline.org. Again, that's cmcconline.org. If you'd like to find out more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, you can like our Facebook page or go to our website. Once again, this is Jake Johnson on behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart. I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. God bless, and we'll see you in church.